My name is, of course, Brother Austin Wiggins. I'm the preacher for the Vider Church of Christ. We're so thankful for the Highland Heights congregation that makes this avenue of teaching possible. And so tonight, we got a young man from the Lubbock Street Church of Christ. The Lubbock Street Church of Christ. A brother by the name of Eric Hamilton. And so without taking up any more of Brother Hamilton's time, I'm going to just simply introduce him and allow him to take the next step. So let's all listen to what Brother Hamilton has to say. Brother Hamilton, let the hammer down, please.
Amen. I want to thank you, Brother Wiggins, for that wonderful introduction there. And as you stated as well, I want to thank Brother Brooks for his continual effort in spreading the gospel, as well as Brother Flunder, and also all the brothers and sisters that that may be behind the scenes as well in this gospel effort on the nationwide gospel call. I'm grateful for another invite to speak on this call. I'm always honored. It's always an honor and a privilege to be able to preach the gospel and to save the lost. I want to thank everyone for dialing in on tonight, those that are members of the body of Christ. I want to thank you all for your continued support as well as we continue to strive to save souls. For those that may be on the call tonight and you're not members of the body of Christ, of the Church of Christ, I want to let you know that you are a VIP guest. You are a very important person on tonight, and I hope, trust, and pray that I can say something to prick your heart, to put Christ on in baptism into his body, into his church. So let's get straight into our lesson on tonight. We're going to get started in the book of Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew, New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 27. New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 27, and I'll be beginning with verse number 45. The Bible says, "Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." So the sixth hour, just to put things in perspective, was noontime. The ninth hour was about 3 o'clock. So the Bible says, "From about noon, there was darkness over all the land until about 3 o'clock. Verse number 46. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So Jesus is hanging on the cross, y'all. It's been dark for about 3 hours, and he asked the Father, "Why have you forsaken me?" We got to realize that the Father and the Son, they've been together since the beginning, y'all. From the forming of the earth to the creation of man being made in their own image. And now the cross is where they separate. So what Jesus is saying to the Father here is, "Why have you abandoned me? Why have you left me helpless?" The title of the lesson for tonight is Separation Anxiety. Separation anxiety. So let's start off by defining separation anxiety. Now, if you're in the field of education or counseling or psychotherapy, you're likely familiar with this term. But the definition of separation anxiety is a disorder in which a child becomes excessively anxious when separated from parents. And people with adult separation anxiety disorder experience high levels of anxiety and sometimes even panic attacks when loved ones are out of reach. Now, on tonight, who is the parent that we're talking about here? The parent is the father. And who is the child? Well, in this case, we're talking about the Son of God, Jesus. Now, the definition of anxious or anxiety is experiencing worry, unease, or nervousness, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. And an imminent event is basically something that you cannot avoid, you cannot go around. An imminent event means that it's happening, that it will occur. So now that we have an understanding or a better understanding of separation anxiety, let's go back before the separation moment on the cross and get a clear picture of the anxiety that our Lord experienced. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 5. We're going to pick up at verse number 7. Go back just a little bit here. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 7. And the Bible reads, "Who in the days of his flesh talking about Jesus here, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, I'll underline that, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. So the Hebrew writer is referring to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, y'all. And when he was suffering deep anxiety as he prayed and pleaded to the Father. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26 that Jesus, that he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And Jesus said in verse number 38 of Matthew chapter 26, Jesus said, my soul, listen to this, y'all. He said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, not just sorrowful, but my soul is exceeding, so it's beyond sorrowful and very heavy. And then in verse number 38, he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. So Jesus, the anxiety was so heavy, the sorrow was exceeding, the Bible says, even unto death. Has anybody ever experienced this kind of sorrow where your heart is so heavy, it's as if you're about to die? This is Jesus here, y'all. Now, the Gospel of Luke in Luke chapter 22, verse number 44 says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground, y'all. Anxiety, separation anxiety. So Jesus prayed three times to the Father that his cup of suffering, his upcoming crucifixion could pass. So in other words, do I really have to go through what I'm about to go through, Father? Can anybody kind of relate to that on tonight? Lord, do I really have to have this test done to see if this lump or this bump I have is cancerous? Or Lord, do I really have to have this surgery or this procedure done? You know, remember, y'all, I'm going to get a little bit personal here. I remember I had to face a surgery. Some say that I'm young. Brother Austin said that I'm young, so I'll take that. But I had to face what's called a bypass surgery, y'all. Not too long ago here. And I remember getting that news. I was absolutely devastated. And I remember thinking, like, Lord, do I really have to do this? Is there any other way? I know what they're about to do to me. So when we look at those things in life, y'all, that we have to face, despite how difficult they may be, they're really nothing compared to what Jesus was facing, y'all. He was facing death. He was facing his execution, his murder, his crucifixion, y'all. I can only imagine. I'd be extremely stressed myself, y'all. I was stressed just for my surgery. So I can't imagine some of the suffering that Jesus went through. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But some of the suffering that he went through, I can't imagine. I couldn't have taken it, y'all. Now, back in Hebrews chapter 5, in verse number 8, let's continue our reading there. The Bible says, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And again, we're going to talk about his suffering a little later in the lesson. But Jesus had to separate his divinity from his humanity by way of obedience. So we need to understand something that sometimes we may miss, is that Jesus' initial prayer request in that Garden of Gethsemane, his initial request was denied. He was trying to figure out if there's any kind of way that cup of suffering could pass. You know? He still had to suffer the cross, but he learned obedience because he still had to suffer. Let's go to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Let's break this down a little bit more. Go to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse number 6. And I want you to watch the separation that Jesus had to take on from divinity to humanity. Philippians chapter 2, let's start at verse number 6. The Bible says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So though Jesus was God himself, he did not think of this equality with God as anything to brag on or anything to cling to. Verse number 7, but made himself of no reputation, it took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So Jesus came in human form, and he humbled himself, y'all, in the position of a slave. Verse number 8, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus being the Son of God. And I want y'all to look at this separation anxiety. If I had a picture for you, I've posted this, had this picture before, that a picture, just imagine a picture of a crown. And that crown, and we're going to cut that crown in half. Half of that crown is a crown of a royal king, and the other half is a crown of thorns, y'all. This is what Jesus had to go through. He had to set aside the fact that he was God. He had to set aside that royal crown for that crown of thorns. He humbled himself, y'all. The Bible says he became obedient unto death. And not just any death, and this is why the Bible says, even the death of the cross. So in other words, Jesus didn't die just any old death, y'all. He died a criminal's death on that cross when he knew no wrong. He knew no sin. He never sinned. He was never a criminal, but he died a criminal's death. So now that we see some of the anxiety that he suffered, the separation he submitted to, the separation anxiety he endured, now let's look at the reason for it all. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 5. And let's pick up at verse number 9. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 5. And we're going to pick up there at verse number 9. The Bible says, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey," underline that, "unto all them that obey him." And so when the Hebrew writer says he became the author, it means that Jesus became the very source of eternal salvation. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, but there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." Praise the mighty name of Jesus, y'all. He's the author of the eternal salvation, y'all. And don't miss the last part of that verse there. The Bible says, "Unto all them that obey him." So if we want to be saved, we must obey Jesus. We must obey the word of God. The major takeaway that I want you all to take from this lesson is that Jesus was separated so we wouldn't have to be. I'm going to say that again. Jesus was separated so we wouldn't have to be. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, the Bible says, "But God commended," or he showed, or he proved his love toward us, "and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us," y'all. So in the midst of our wrongdoing, in the midst of our foolishness, Jesus still died for each and every one of us. So who told you God doesn't love you because you messed up? Who told you that? I know I'm talking to somebody on tonight. You've been going through trials and tribulations. You've been struggling with sin. You made your fair share of mistakes, and you wondered if God loves you, or how can God love you? Well, I think we all are familiar with this verse in John chapter 3 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world." Don't miss this, y'all. Don't miss that word, "so." I know it's a little short, a little two-letter word, but it's so powerful. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world, even those that were crucifying, even those that were calling for his death, even those fornicators, drug abusers, liars, stealers, you and me." The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, not shall not, but should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus suffered separation, y'all. He suffered anxiety for you and for me. As we approach the close of this lesson on tonight, we talked about the separation anxiety, or some of the separation anxiety our Lord suffered in many ways. He suffered from severe anxiety in the Garden of Gethsemane. Although he was the Son of God, he had to humble himself to the form of a servant. And on the cross, he suffered not only physically, but psychologically, as he was separated from his Father. Remember, Jesus suffered this separation so we wouldn't have to. You know, earlier we defined the term anxiety or anxious, and it's to experience worry, unease, or nervousness, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Well, Jesus, as the Son of God, he knew the outcome of what he was facing. You know, it's bad enough when you don't know, but just imagine knowing that you would be facing what Jesus faced. He knew he was going to be betrayed by one of his own disciples. He knew he would have to stand trial in front of the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. He knew the people would choose him to be crucified over a notorious prisoner, a notorious criminal named Barabbas. Can you imagine standing before these people and shouting for your death? You healed their sick. You fed them. You gave sight to their blind, and they're calling for your death. You showed them nothing but love. You showed their family, their friends, their loved ones. All you done was love them and teach them the truth, and they're calling for your death. Can you see Jesus, y'all? He knew of the scourging that he would have to face. He knew that this wasn't your ordinary whip. He knew of the metal fragments and bones and iron balls that were attached to this whip. And what scourging was, it was the brutal practice of the Roman soldiers. They would strip the victim of his clothes, and they would tie him to an upright post, and they would beat him over and over and over again, just to the point of death. Yeah. And the scourging, when they scourged him with this whip called a flagellum, it would create lacerations in his body. Yeah. Book of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 5. Papa said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, those lacerations, y'all, and with his stripes, we are healed. Jesus knew the beating that he would have to suffer through. The punches, the slaps, the spit. Y'all, they spit in our Lord's face. Y'all, that's one of the most despicable things you can do to another human being is to spit in their face. This is what Jesus went through for us. This is what he went through for you. It's what he went through for me. The mockery, he knew he would face it, y'all. You know, when they were beating Jesus in the course of chaos, they were slapping him, they were punching him. And the Bible says that they were mocking him. And they were saying, Messiah, prophesy who slapped you. Prophesy who hit you. That don't like bullies would do at school, y'all. That's how they did our Lord. They were mocking him. Prophesy who slapped you. He knew about the crown of thorns that would be placed on his head, y'all. You know, these crown of thorns, I think about thorns, and sometimes we kind of glaze over this, right, as if they just had this crown of thorns that was just the perfect fit on his head, and it's just sitting right there. That's not how that works, y'all. You know, I was in my backyard, y'all, and I was trying to get a ball that one of my sons and children, they had in a rose bush in the backyard, and I remember I pricked my finger with one of those things, y'all, and that hurt. It's a little bitty thorn, y'all. One thorn. And then I thought about the crown of thorns that our Lord had on his head, y'all. You know what they would have to do? These were vines. This crown of thorns, they were vines, and they were made in a crown-like shape. And what they would have to do in order to fit it over the victim's head, they would have to wet it. They would have to wet it to get some elasticity so it can stretch a little bit. And what they would do, y'all, they put it on our Savior's head. And they had to push that crown of thorns down on his head, y'all. He knew about the nails in his hands and his feet. And the 6 excruciating hours on that cross, y'all. You know, it's hard for some of us to even work a 6-hour shift. And that's from home. A lot of us work from home these days. It's hard for us to do that, y'all. But Jesus was on that cross for 6 excruciating hours. Can you see him on tonight? You know, the word excruciating, it comes from the word crucifixion, y'all. They beat our Lord. They hung him on that cross. Sped on him. Isaiah chapter 52, verse number 14. One translation reads, many were amazed when they saw him. Talking about Jesus here. The Bible said his face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. Jesus knew about the darkness on the cross, y'all. He knew about the separation from his Father. He knew about the loneliness, the agony, and the anxiety. Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb, and he rose the third day, early one Sunday morning, with all power in his hands, according to Mark 16, 2 and 6, giving us that hope of one day being raised into eternal life with him. You've heard tonight what Jesus suffered through for you and for us all. If you want to make your salvation, or as Peter put it in 2 Peter 1 and 10, your calling and election, sure. You first come by hearing the gospel. You heard the gospel on tonight. That Jesus hung, bled, and died on that cross for your sins. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and he rose the third day. Now you must believe what you've heard, Acts 15, verse 7. And then it's time to repent, Luke 13 and 3. I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, repentance, y'all, is not a 360. A 360 is when you turn a complete circle, and you end up where you started in the first place, y'all. That's not repentance. Repentance is a 180. It's when you turn the complete opposite direction. Choose to no longer serve sin. Choose to no longer let sin oppress you. choose to no longer live under misguided religious beliefs, you know, and traditions. And then you will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, just as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, verse number 37. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we'll baptize you in the watery grave of baptism. Acts chapter 22, verse 16, the Bible says, and now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And we're baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13 says, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. And you may ask what that body is. Well, the body is the church. Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23, the Bible says, and hath put all things under his feet, talking about Christ, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. And that body, y'all, is the church of Christ, y'all. From 16:16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. And y'all, that's not a statement of bragging on the church or that it's not about us. Let's make that clear on tonight. It's not about us, y'all. When it says the church of Christ, it's not about us. It's about the one who died for us, y'all. The one who was separated for us, Jesus Christ. That's what it's about, y'all. And after you're baptized, you remain faithful unto death. Revelation 2 and 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. So even if it causes you to bury death, remain faithful. So if you know you haven't been baptized into his body, into his church, and you end this call, and you choose not to get it right, somber in truth here is that you're choosing at this point to live in sin, because you've been told the truth on tonight. James chapter 4 and verse number 17, the Bible says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. And Jesus said, if you die in your sins where I am, you cannot come. John 8:21. So Jesus did his part on the cross. Now it's time for us to do our part. You know? Some of us have been experiencing spiritual or symptoms of spiritual separation anxiety due to sin. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 teaches us that sin separates us from God. So it's time. Get it right on tonight. Wash away your sins and be baptized in the blood of the Lamb. Choose to no longer be separated from God on tonight. Get back with the person who invited you on this call and let them know you're ready to put Christ on and baptism into his church, into his body. Choose now before it's everlasting too late. God bless you. Thank you.